All right, we're on a series called hashtag OOTD, which is Outfit of the Day. And to help us out, George actually brought clothes from his own closet. So these clothes are for sale today because he wants to upgrade his digs, I guess. I don't know. But I asked George, did you scoop those at the thrift store? Or those are really yours. Not that I was trying to demean them in any way. What? But anyways, there you are. But we're on this series. We started the first week, and we want to talk about, last we were talking about the whole armor of God. We're talking about the armor of God. And it's the armor of God. It's the armor of God. It's the God armor. It's Him. So we talked about that. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 12. Start there. If you got your Bibles, let's hear the pages go flip, flip, flip. Okay. Now, my beloved ones, I save the most important truths for last. I save the most important truths for last. Now listen, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but just those few lines, I could stop and just say, thank you, Jesus. Is that a big deal or what? That is a big deal. Beloved ones, listen, be supernaturally infused. Another translation says, be strong in the Lord. But it's not be strong. I can say, come on, be strong. Suck it up there. Come on, pull up your boots, straighten up. That's not what God's saying. That's not what the word's saying. The word is saying, allow yourself to embrace the supernatural power that comes from Him. Allow yourselves to be infused with supernatural strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand victorious in the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. Good word. Got a couple grunts over there. I mean, that's a big deal right there. I mean, that's enough to chew on for a long, long time. Put God's complete set of armor provided for us. This isn't stuff you've got to earn or work your way towards or try to. It's not something, you know, somebody said, did you put on your armor today, Pastor? I said, I didn't take it off last night. I mean, it's not something you put on and off. I mean, this isn't something that comes and goes. This is something that God has graciously provided for us. It's His complete set of armor that He provided so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies. Amen. Say evil strategies. I mean, we shouldn't be ignorant. Don't want you to be ignorant of what the devil's trying to do. And sometimes people wonder what's going on in their lives, and they attribute it to all kinds of other things. And sometimes you just got to go, that could be the devil. And he comes and he lies to us and he deceives us. So wiles is the King James Version word, the wiles of the accuser. He's an accuser. Let your hand-to-hand combat, hand-to-hand, like he's literally saying, your battle with the devil is not like let's target over there a smart missile. It's not that, it's hand-to-hand. It's right here. It's in your face struggles. He's saying your struggles with the devil, they're going to be hand-to-hand combat. It's going to be close-range battles that you're going to have with the schemes of the devil. It's not with human beings. You're not struggling with people. People are never your problem. But with the highest principalities, authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms, for they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Boo. You see, the people out there, the reason they don't understand or want to come to church or believe in God and all that, says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And see, if we're going to get people and we're going to take what the strong man has hold of, we got to be able to bind the strong man. If we're going to take his goods, if we're going to get treasures out of darkness, then we have to know how to do hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. So there is this aspect. But the amazing thing about spiritual warfare is that we're not fighting for victory. We are enforcing the victory that's already won. So I'm not struggling to try and win. Not like the Lions yesterday were trying to win against Washington. And I'm so sorry for all you Lions fans. Jeff, Washington fan. Oh my goodness. You know, we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but we struggle to enforce the victory that is already won. Now, the enemy is a liar and a deceiver, so he'll tell us, boo, I'm scary, I'm going to come get you. It's not true. He's got no power, no authority over you. He's defeated. He's absolutely destroyed. But our responsibility is to go and enforce the victory. It's like in World War II in Japan, when they went into Japan, there were people still held in prison camps, and somebody had to walk up to the gate and say, dude, the war's over, let my people go. And so we're literally walking in with all power and with all authority, and we're enforcing in every place where darkness is encroaching upon people's lives. We get to walk in and say, devil, be gone in the name of Jesus. And we're here to set people free. And who the Son sets free is
free
a little bit. No, free indeed, free indeed. Isaiah 59:17, it says, God was looking, he said he wanted to find someone who could use to bring salvation. And it says, so he took it upon himself. And it says he took up and he put on righteousness as his breastplate, his helmet of salvation on his head. He put garments of vengeance and he wrapped himself in a cloak of zeal. So when the Apostle Paul was writing this, even though he was in prison and in jail, he probably had to look at one time he was between two Roman soldiers, and he would have seen the breastplate, he would have seen the boots, he would have seen the helmet, he would have seen every day these guys in their armor. But I think the Apostle Paul, out of the scriptures, his understanding of the Word of God, he saw that there is armor that God has. God has righteousness, salvation. God has these attributes, God, these aspects of his character and nature that God wants to impart to us. And they're not stuff we earn, it's stuff that is granted to us, gifted to us, and ascribed to us by our relationship with him. That's why I love the Passion Translation. It's ours because of our life union, because of our joint union with him. I'm one spirit with God. Therefore, I have all of these attributes actively functioning in my life. Can I get an amen? All right, the essence of spiritual warfare is your union with Christ. It's the armor of light. I'm in Christed, therefore every virtue, everything that he has, I am. When we walk in the Spirit, they can look and go, oh, I thought that was Jesus. Because we are walking, we are little Christ. Just like they said Christians the first time in the Bible, they said, look at these people. Look at all these little anointed ones wandering around. As he is, so are we in this world. So we are those anointed people. Romans 13:14 says, therefore put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Walk in it, yield to it, accept it, reckon it so, let it be real in your life. It's not something you have to achieve or work for. It's something you just receive, and that's hard. I don't know about you, but that's hard. I don't know about you, but that's hard. Boy, that sounded good, didn't it? You know, sometimes receiving, you have a hard time receiving? I mean, we have such a desperate thing. And you see, our flesh wants to earn. Our flesh wants to say, I deserve this. I've achieved this. But you see, when it's just received, so it's mine just as a gift. Yes, I am your righteousness because you've imparted it to me. Yes, done. And that's the truth. So before we start talking about the armor, I want you to understand how you get it, how it's yours, how it's activated, and how it moves in your life. Now, the wiles of the devil, talking about the devil, the wiles, the methodia, two words, journey and with. Journey and with. So what are the wiles of the devil? He journeys with you. He journeys with. He observes. He pays attention. And that word means to follow, to investigate by method of a settled plan, to follow craftily, to frame devices, and to deceive. So the devil constantly wants to deceive you. He knows that you're victorious. He knows that you're free. He knows that who the Son set free is free indeed. He knows that. But he wants to know if you know that. And he'll craft all kinds of nonsense to try to deceive you. And if you believe you're bound, you're bound. Because what a man says, what he believes in his heart, that's the way it is. And so, you know, the devil is a legalist and he knows the Bible really, really good. So if he can get you stuck in the law, stuck in legalism, stuck in your flesh, stuck in that approval syndrome, he'll bust you every day. And that's where you got to put on the armor of God and realize I don't stand in my, especially when you fall. Has anybody ever fallen? You fall on your head, you get up again because it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. And that's when you exercise faith when you're a loser. Did I say loser? How terrible is that? You know, that's when you have to say, I'm free. Well, you didn't look free right there. I'm free. Reckon yourself dead to sin. And it's something you have to maintain. And it's a battle right here in this 4 inches. Come on, help me out. 1 John 3:8, for this reason, the Son of God was manifest. Why was he manifest? Was he manifest? Yes. He manifests to destroy the works of the devil. Therefore, the works of the devil are defeated. I thought the devil was defeated. That's what you're telling me. So why do I have to engage him at all? Why don't I just say, you leave me alone, I leave you alone? And people want to do that, right? You stay away from me, I'll stay away from you. Let's make a deal. Colossians says he made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him in the cross. Triumphing is the party that you have after you defeated and you bring all the spoils. You take everything back and you say, look, he is a dead dog. That's the truth. Hebrews 2:4. He did this that he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So the devil is destroyed. But then the Bible says, don't give a place for the devil. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, don't be angry, don't sin, don't let the sun go down in your wrath, don't give a place for the devil. Now the Bible wouldn't tell you don't give a place if you couldn't give a place. Now he's a defeated foe, but we're still doing a mop up. We're still doing a cleanup on aisle 4. There's still some demons that need to be put in their place. And that's our responsibility. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his schemes. We're not ignorant that he's trying to deceive us and keep us from enjoying the full freedom that's ours in Christ Jesus. So he'll concoct all kinds of mad schemes to keep you on a treadmill of performance. Are you guys okay? Yeah. All right, 1 John 5:18. We are convinced that everyone fathered by God does not make sinning a way of life, because the Son of God protects the child of God and the evil one cannot touch him. The evil one cannot touch you. The evil one cannot touch me. Sometimes you gotta put that verse on your fridge, and every time you start fretting and wondering what's going on, you gotta say, I'm untouchable. I'm unstoppable. You cannot manage me. I'm gonna kick you in the teeth every single day. You cannot affect my life. The only battle is, if he lies to you and you accept the lie, then you're not in bondage to anything else except you've been deceived. Well, sickness runs in our family. That's the way it is. That's a lie. If we receive that, the older I get, the weaker I get. You know, arthritis, went to the doctor, had a bit, now I got more. Soon I'm gonna have lots. Gonna get bad. We are conditioned to really believe that in our culture because we see it every day. We all see loved ones, people. We know, I see myself. I look in the mirror and I'm still pretty impressed. But now I'm a Presbyterian. I mean a pescatarian. So gotta take care of stuff, you know. That's how the devil deceives me. You can eat 5 pieces of cherry pie. It's all good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 5 pieces, I eat old pie, woo! Sorry. If that applies to me, let it be so. We are convinced, come on, we're convinced of this, that we're fathered by God, the evil one cannot touch us. Mark 16:15-17, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized is saved, but he who does not believe is condemned. And these signs will follow them that believe in my name, they will cast out demons. See, the word go means now go, pick a fight with the devil. We're commissioned to go pick a fight with the devil. So you're not told just hang out on your own, just pull back and you leave him. No, you are commanded to go pick a fight with the devil, cast him out wherever you find him, command him to go. Wherever people are kept in the bondage or dark and don't know Jesus, you got to pray them and you got to pray a breakthrough. Bind the strongholds that keep them from seeing and command those spirits that are working behind the scenes, get off of this person. I declare they're saved in the name of Jesus. So we are commanded to pick a fight with the devil. Say amen to your neighbor. Luke 24:48-49. You are witnesses of these things. This is Jesus again. He says, you are witnesses of these things. Same period, same time, another gospel. You're witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So we do have a commission to go, but before we go, we have a commission to stay. We have a commission to wait. We have a commission to embrace the clothing. Say clothed. See, I don't want you going anywhere until you're clothed properly. And the clothing he's talking about is the armor of God. The clothing he's talking about is being clothed in Christ. What he's talking about is being clothed in the Spirit. What he's talking about is being clothed in the glory of God. Thank you. Couple of grunts, couple of amens. Glory to God. Genesis 3, 10 to 11, where are you? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That seed got into them. You know, it's less that they did a disobedient act. It's that they took something into them. They ingested something that caused destruction to be released into the whole human race. They shouldn't have done what they did, because in the seed of that tree, it wasn't just the disobedience of disobeying God. It was that that tree had the power to desperately and wrongfully and powerfully affect mankind forever. And in the seed of that tree was, see, the enemy wasn't completely lying, because you will be like God. And they were already in the image of God. But you see, what they did not have that God possessed was the knowledge of good and evil. Because later on, God said, now they are like us, knowing the knowledge of good and evil. See, you weren't ready for that. We're not ready for that. See, when you got the knowledge of good and evil, that means I judge things. I determine things. I call the balls and the strikes. And what it does is it took them and said, I want to be like God, in that I don't want to submit to him and let him make all the calls for my life. I don't want him to be Lord of my life. I want to be Lord of my life. And that's what Satan did himself. Pride entered in. And he said, I want to command my own destiny. I'll make my own decisions if you don't mind. And that's the spirit of pride. That's what entered into Satan. And that's what Satan put into man. Because he said, don't you want to call your own game? Don't you want to run your own life? Do you want to be submitted to him all the time? Why not you be God? Why not you call the balls and strikes? Why don't you do that? And so they ate of that, because he deceived them in thinking God's holding out on us. And when they took that in, it dumbed down the whole human race. And that's why criticism, judgment, hatred, the way we fight with each other and bicker with each other, it's all because of pride. Hello? But you see, when they were, here's what happened. Where are you? He said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. Why would you be afraid of me? We never had fear in the relationship before. What's going on? Where are you? I was afraid. See, suddenly when you decide that you're the one who chooses good and bad, the sad thing is you turn on yourself and you start thinking I'm bad. You start condemning yourself, accusing yourself. And then here's, you know, what happened to Adam? Well, she did it. It's the woman and you know what? I was got her from, by the way, you. So really, this is your fault because you introduced her. It's the woman you gave me. Then the woman said, it's that dumb devil who walked up, started talking to us. Then the whole thing was messed up. It was all messed up. I said, I heard your voice. I was afraid. I hid myself because I was naked. Say naked. So they weren't naked before, so something happened. They lost something. And what they lost was the glory of God. They lost the covering of God. They were clothed in him. And that's why he said, don't go until you're clothed with power from on high. See, what Jesus did was, where the blood is applied, the glory comes. And when you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, you're clothed in the glory of God. And you're not just restored to where Adam was, but you're restored to a place where it can never be taken from you. Adam could lose it. You never can. It's always yours, and it'll never be taken from you. Is anybody listening? I want you to understand the armor. It's not some little teaching about, okay, put on your righteousness. Oop, hold it. Put the belt on first. Put your belt on. Now put on your righteousness. Now put on your helmet. Now grab that sword. Get that spear. Get your shoes. Devil! That's nonsense. It's all about being baptized in him. It's all about being imparted to of his very life and nature. It's the armor of God. It's the armor of God. Catherine Kuhlman, God was a 20-syllable word with her. I feel God. Anyways, naked, and I hid. And then he said, who told you? Who told you that? And then he immediately said, did you eat of the tree? Because when that gets in you, and you see, that's where if you operate in the flesh, you're operating in the realm where I'm going to call the shots. I'm the guy. I'm going to be in charge here. That's flesh. See, when you're walking in the glory, it's a servant attitude. It's a humble attitude. It's a gracious attitude. And it's, you never have to defend yourself because it's God. And you can love people. You can freely give. You can esteem others as better than yourself because I'm free. Amen. All right. Fig. They cover themselves with figs, fear, ignorance, and guilt. I don't trust you. I don't know you. I'm no good. And sin did that, not God. God was never mad at man. God removed them from the garden, not because he was mad at them, but because if they now went with the knowledge of good and evil and ate of the tree of life, they would forever have a fallen mindset. So he separated them from the tree of life so he could redeem them. So this was all an act of kindness. And God has continued throughout history to always pursue man with everything in him. He's never separated himself from his creation. Eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil brings sin and death into the world, a culture of judging, condemning, and comparison, a place of self-governing. Love always honors, love always values, and brings value to another person. Are you okay? Guilt is connected to behavior. Now, if you don't behave right, that's where guilt comes in. I didn't do good, so look at that. I feel bad because I did a bad thing. But here's the next step with guilt. The next step with guilt is shame, and it says it's linked to your identity. You did what you did because you're a bad person. So here's how shame works. Has anybody ever done a bad thing? Have you ever done a bad thing as a believer? So have you ever had that question that maybe I'm not a believer because I keep on doing bad things? Have you ever had that question? Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Has that ever popped in your head? Have you ever had that accusation? Because the devil will accuse you. If you keep on doing bad stuff, the devil will come and say, you're not a child of God. Because the devil wants to take guilt and turn it into identity. And he wants to cause shame to come. And he wants to frame who you are. You are your behavior. But here's the beautiful thing about the good news. You're not your behavior. You're his behavior. You're not in what you have done. You're in what he has done. See, religion is do. Grace is all about it's done. So even if you fall on your head, you don't change your identity. You might have done a bad thing and you should feel that wasn't good. Deal with it, but it will never, ever change your identity. You're always a child of God and the enemy cannot touch you. Are you clapping because that was good? Oh, all right then. I thought you were saying it's over. No, it's not. All right. I behaved a certain way, therefore I'm a bad person. I'm broken. I'm devalued. It brought dishonor on myself. Every person wants to be valued. Does anybody want to be valued? Does anybody want to walk in the room and have somebody say, hi, you're awesome. My wife walked in today and said, woo. Got the cowgirl thing going on. Yeehaw, woohoo. God, I still, all my life, I can't believe God blessed me with her. Unbelievable. Highly honored right there, I tell you. Highly honored. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know what bad thing she did in a previous life that she got stuck with me. But what, you believe in reincarnation? No, stop. Right. Where the concept of honor is corrupted, shame begins to dominate. Where the concept of honor is corrupted, shame begins to dominate. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Where that is out of order, where that is broken, shame takes domination. So we want to make sure that we have a culture of honor and we understand honor. Where does honor come from? There's two types of honor. There's achieved honor. And clearly, I dishonor the Lions after yesterday. That was horrible. They did not do very well. But it's horrible when you have a wonderful season like that. You go home feeling, what a waste of time that was. No, it's all good. Amen. I'm a Leafs fan. Come on. Two types of honor, achieved honor. See, I'm never going to give up on the Leafs because I'm not a Leaf fan because of achieved honor. I'm a Leaf fan because I'm a Leaf fan. I'm a Leaf fan, no matter what. I'm not a fair weather friend. I'm there for good. They could disappoint me year after year after year. And I thank God for the suffering. Amen. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when the spring comes because the Leafs are out. Amen. Amen. But achieved honor, right? Based on my ability to perform at a certain level. And our world is full of it. full of it. From the minute you're born, you're achieving, 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 and you become an achievement addict. And that's one of the worst addictions, is achievement. And I tell you, I was baptized in it. In my natural gifts, in my strength finders, one of the strengths that I have is competition. And there's five top strength finder qualities that each person has. And mine are relator, which is interesting. The other is ideation, which is I can be pretty creative on the spot. But the rest are achiever, activator, and competition. So I just want to get stuff done. So I literally compare myself to everybody. I want to be better than everybody. When I used to work in sales, I used to want to be better than everybody else I worked for. I used to go early on Fridays to the office and go in, make sure nobody's looking. And I knew where they put the results for sales all week long. I pulled everybody's results out just to make sure I was the best. I kid you not. I had on the back of my wall, results are the only proof of ability. And I saw it every morning when I walked in, results. So I literally, if I had bad results, I was a loser. And I lived like that. But I tell you, man, it drove me. It drove me. It drove me. But after a while, you get exhausted. Because if you're only as good as your performance, you're just going to hit a wall. You know, honor this based on performance. You know, you can get it. You can win. You can get a trophy. You know, you can do something well. You get a little plaque or something. And we always want that, you know. So then we said everybody should be honored. So everybody. So then we took merit out of it all, which is weird as well. There's achieved glory, achieved honor. Number two, there's ascribed honor. And ascribed honor is righteousness to someone by virtue of a similar quality in another. Ascribed honor. How many are still tracking with me? I know, sometimes it gets long, doesn't it? You just like, wish he'd shut up. All right, listen, listen, ascribed honor. This is actually really important stuff. I want you to get this, I really do. Like, I go to India, and I'm just a white guy. I get off the plane, and I got all these people meeting me, and they're putting, you know, flowers on me, and they're giving me gifts, and they're doing things, and they're throwing petals of flowers all the way to the car. They come, they put garments over me, they welcome me, and I get all this stuff. And they only do that because Pastor Koshy, he invited me and he told them, this is a man of God from Canada. He's going to minister and he's a great man and we love him. And so these people honor me. They have no idea who I am. Never heard a sermon, never heard me speak. All of a sudden they're like, we ascribe you honor. And they're doing it because of a relationship I have with somebody else. And that person has valued me and told them, you must value him as well. And this works in the kingdom. If you don't value somebody, you can't receive anything from them. That's why it says a gift makes room before a king. And that's why it says the gift makes room for itself. That's why it says a cup of honor, water in the name of a prophet gets reward. If you can't honor somebody, you can't receive from them. So honor is a big, big deal. But you see, this is ascribed honor. Well, I listen to that teacher because they're great. I listen to this one because they're great. But often we give people honor because we give meaning to, we think they're special. And so we ascribe the honor because of their performance. But that's not biblical honor. Hello. And there's a lot of it in the church. I honor this ministry. I honor that ministry. I honor this. Ooh, ooh, there. You know, we honor everybody 360, all the way around, up, down, all around. In the kingdom, we honor every single person. And especially someone who you may think is lesser than you, you double honor them in Jesus' name. See, that's the way it works in the kingdom, because Christ's righteousness is ascribed to me. In the spirit, I am a blazing ball of fire. And when I walk down the street, demons run. And they run because there is an ascribed righteousness that I carry. I carry the very same nature as Jesus himself. I possess his righteousness, power, authority. All that he is, I walk in. Therefore, everywhere I go, because of my relationship, because of my life union with Jesus, devils run from me. And they run from you. The thing is, the devil will tell you, yeah, you're not all that. You don't have ascribed righteousness because you behave poorly. That's rubbish. You don't have his righteousness through behavior. You have it because of grace. It's a gift of God. Hello. And religion constantly wants to attach performance to it, but it's rubbish. The greater revelation you have of ascribed glory, the more it will be manifest in your life. The more deliverance you can get from the achieving, earning spirit, the more you'll manifest the power of God in your life. Settle down. All right. I'm going to go through this fast now. I'm going to go through this fast because that's basically the point, all right? But I want to show you it in the Word. How many want to see it in the Word? I don't want you just saying it to me. I want to see it in the Word. For he made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God dealt with our sin problem once and for all so that we could have his righteousness. He ascribed glory to us. John 8:1-11, when Jesus raised himself up, he said to the woman, the woman's caught in adultery, they all want to stone her, and legally they could have stoned her. The only one who could throw a stone, the only righteous one, was Jesus. But what did Jesus do? Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Come on. Go now, and don't get caught up in sin anymore. Go. But you see, the eyes of Christ look at you, and he gives you, he ascribes you glory. He clothes you with his love. Zacchaeus was the worst of tax collectors. I mean, when Jesus went to his house, and he went to his house, and he says to him, today salvation has come to your house, because he is also a son of Abraham. This freaked out all the religious people. You have to earn your way to be a son of Abraham. You got to climb the ladder. You got to do the 25 steps on the journey. But you just declared him a child of Abraham. He's a stinking tax collector. But Jesus ascribed glory. And he said, he's twice as much a son of Abraham. Today, salvation has come to your house. John 4, the woman at the well. I mean, she's there in the middle of the day because she's full of shame. She's covered with shame, and she had guilt. The guilt led to shame, led to identity. I'm not even good enough to come when the other women are here. I spend my whole life hiding. I'm covered with shame. And Jesus has a conversation with her, tells her all about herself. But then she's running back in the middle of the day to a town of people that she tried to avoid. She's becoming a preacher in the whole town, saying, come and see someone who told me all about me, and I'm not ashamed at all. He knows every detail of my life, and yet I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Everywhere in the Word of God, it's ascribed glory. It's ascribed righteousness. It's biblical honor. Psalm 62:7, in God is my salvation and my glory. That's the word kavod. The word kavod is glory, honor, dignity, and reputation. Where does my reputation come from? It comes from how loud you clap on Sunday morning. Please, 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 affirm me, affirm me, affirm me. No, it comes from God. In God is my salvation. So even the Sundays when you're quiet, I still feel okay. Because God is my salvation and my glory. Kavod, God is. Isaiah 55:5, because the Lord your God, he has glorified you. Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. John 17:22, and Jesus in his high priestly prayer, he said, the glory which you gave me, the glory that I'm clothed in, the anointing that I'm smeared in, the very nature and presence of yourself that I walk in, I've given them the glory that you gave me. And when he went into heaven, he took his blood and he put it on the mercy seat, and the Holy Spirit came, and they were all clothed with power from on high. All of us are clothed with the glory of God, and it's ascribed righteousness. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, these he also glorified. Done. Stamped. Finished. Done. Can't be improved upon. Once and for all, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are glorified in him. Hello. I am a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. You got to understand your identity. John 5:44. Listen to this now. If you haven't been paying attention for a few minutes, drifted away a bit, start staring at your phone. Pay attention now. Listen. How can you believe? How can you believe? How can you even believe? How can you believe who receive honor from one another? How can you believe? See, he's talking to those religious people. You guys are all, hey, good job, bud. Dude, you're awesome. Hey, you're great. Woo-hoo. And that's good. It's great to encourage each other. But you see, if you get your honor from that, if you get it from achievement or from outside things, anything other than God, how can you believe? See, in the religious circles, they honored each other. Oh, looking pretty righteous today, Bob. Oh, I feel really righteous too. I don't think I'm ever going to sin again. I tell you, do you like the new placards I got on my head? Oh, I tell you, memorize another verse of the Bible. How can you believe? You who receive honor from one another. It should never, ever come from there. Not that we shouldn't honor each other. We should. But see, some people give honor looking for honor. Hey, you're awesome. Yeah, I am. Thanks. But they're fishing for something for themselves. Well, I'm awesome too. Of course you are. But you're not awesome because I said so. You're awesome because God says you're awesome. You know, and that way you walk through life, you're never looking for approval. You're never worried about it when anybody thinks you. Who gives a rip? I'm a child of God. Therefore, I'm free to serve even in the most awkward situations. I'm free to give myself, to lower myself, to serve even when it's hard. Are you people listening to me? Look what it says. They do not seek honor that comes from only. How can you believe? They do not seek the honor that comes from only God. Do you know that God honors you? You, especially you. Do you know that? Do you know that He honors you? He esteems you. I mean, you got to know that. 1 John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. In Genesis 3:21, Adam and his wife, they had to get tunics made. They had to be covered. And something had to die. Blood had to be shed. Now, what do you think that looked like? Those tunics looked like some skin that was wrapped over them, like they were cavemen or something. You know, God killed an animal and wrapped him in some skin. It was like, oh, thank you, God. Are you kidding? That would have been the most amazing Armani, beautiful, tanned, lambskin suit. I mean, you think God would make anything that's not awesome? Are you kidding? They must have been decked out, like really cool. But you know what? Whatever He made for them, it was only a temporary covering, a temporary shedding of blood until Jesus' blood was shed so that there could be the permanent covering of the glory of God. Did you make that trip with me? Jesus' blood was shed, therefore you have the glory of God. Not without blood, but when His blood was shed, we've been perfected in every way. I'm done. I just got one more slide. Listen to this now. Listen. I'm done. I need you to get it, though. It was a busy day with the red lines. People in the nursery are screaming at me. All right, you ready? I'm going to read this right after E2S3. People who base their relationship with God on their performance are only as free and satisfied as they are able to sustain their performance. It's true. You're only as satisfied and free as you can sustain your performance. Have you ever tried to hold a beach ball underwater? That's some people's walk with Jesus. I'm doing good over here. I'm doing good over here. Whoa! Those who choose to be clothed by God are completely satisfied and free because of His performance.